is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
This is the Albert Mohler Program, and the question today is, where is Albert Mohler? I'm happy to tell you that he is doing fine. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I just spoke with Mary Mohler a few moments ago. Dr. Mohler had surgery today. Many of you know that Dr. Mohler was diagnosed with a precancerous tumor, had to have surgery. The surgery was today, and he went through the surgery just fine, is in recuperation right now, and the doctors are very pleased with what took place in the surgery. And they expect him to have a full recovery. And so we are so thankful that this was found and that we live in the kind of a world in which God has given us the kind of medical technology that doctors are able to intervene and able to take care of situations like this. And I know that Dr. Mohler and all of the Mohler family are really appreciative to all of you out there in this listening audience on the Albert Mohler Program for your prayers. And so pray for Dr. Mohler that he would rest and recuperate well over the weekend. He doesn't rest very well. As a matter of fact, I got up in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning last night, and I heard a little ding from my email, and it was an email from Albert Mohler. And I responded, we emailed back and forth, and he said, what are you doing up this time of night? And I responded back and said, well, what are you doing up the night before your surgery? So he's a pretty hard-driven, hard-charging kind of a guy, being in the hospital bed, not where he likes to be. So pray for him as he recuperates. And just give thanksgiving to God that he made it through the surgery just fine. He'll be back behind this microphone just as soon as the meds wear off. I guarantee you, he'll be ready to be back behind the microphone. Today, I want to talk about the issues that are on the table all over the country as we think about the issue of war. This is Holy Week, time in which Christians are thinking about the peace of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And at the same time, the entire country, indeed the entire world, is talking about war. 5 years ago yesterday that the Iraq War started. What I'd like to do today is let's take a step back from the issue of Iraq. Was it a good idea to go into Iraq or not? Is it a good idea to stay in Iraq or not? That's a debate that Christians can have. That's a debate that people who are concerned about the issues often have. But I think there's another issue here. How much should Christians be involved in military combat? When should a Christian know whether or not it's a good idea to fight? Can you, in good conscience, be praying for your country to achieve victory in any war? Can you, as a Christian, say to your sons or your daughters or people in your churches, you ought to enlist in the military and fight? Is that in conflict with what Jesus has taught us about turning the other cheek, about blessing those who curse you, about loving your enemies? Can you be a warrior and a follower of Jesus at the same time? And what would you say to someone who's a Christian, a new believer, who's in the military, who says to you, I'm a Christian and I just don't know, how can I justify killing people in war? What would you say to this soldier? Would you say you need to leave the military in order to follow Christ? Or would you say you can follow Jesus and serve in the military? And if so, how? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We're going to be talking to a gentleman today who's a Christian who believes that Christians shouldn't fight. And not just in the Iraq War, he thinks across the board, Christians are called to peace and to peacemaking, and that means that the military is no place for Christians. I'd like to know if you agree. Is this something that you struggle with as you think through this issue? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How would you counsel a Christian about going into war? In other news today, Barack Obama still in hot water for his comments about his pastor, or actually about his pastor's comments and his response to them. Barack Obama was on a local sports radio program in Philadelphia this morning to talk about his speech the other day and about where the campaign is going right now, and asked about his comments about his grandmother. Remember, in his address, he talked about the fact that his grandmother was afraid of African-American men on the street and that she would use racially inappropriate language sometimes. And Barack Obama said, "The point I was making was not that my grandmother harbors any racial animosity, but that she is a typical white person. If she sees somebody on the street that she doesn't know, well, there's a reaction in her that doesn't go away, and it comes out in the wrong way." And so the Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington and that group, has already posted this, asking, you know, what does it mean for Barack Obama to call his grandmother a typical white person? Is that what a typical white person does? Geraldine Ferraro, on the other hand, is pretty upset. Geraldine Ferraro said she doesn't like the fact that she was in the Obama speech. He compared her with his pastor and said, "My pastor shouldn't have said the things he said. Geraldine Ferraro shouldn't have said what she said." And Geraldine Ferraro says, "Well, to equate what I said with what this racist bigot has said from the pulpit is unbelievable. He gave a very good speech on race relations, but he did not address the fact that this man is up there spewing hatred." And in the meantime, the tracking polls are showing that Barack Obama is continuing to go down nationally and state by state. But will Hillary Clinton really be able to overtake him? I don't think so. I think this nomination is Barack Obama's, but it's going to be a long time getting there. And of course, with all of the conversation going on right now about the fifth anniversary of the beginning of the Iraq War, Vice President Dick Cheney was interviewed by ABC News about the Iraq War, and this is what he had to say.
2/3 of Americans say it's not worth fighting.
So?
So? You don't care what the American people think?
No, I think you cannot be blown off course by the fluctuations in the public opinion polls.
Vice President Cheney says it does not matter to him that most of the American people, at least according to the polls, are not comfortable with the Iraq War. And I think this is being blown out of proportion a little bit. I probably wouldn't have responded to it the way Vice President Cheney did. It seemed a little flippant, I guess, in the way it was interpreted. But I think his larger point, whatever you think about this particular war, is accurate. One cannot start military operations and then immediately end them as soon as public opinion turns against it. Otherwise, how would we have won World War II? That's just no way that a nation can carry out military operations. But it does point to the fact that this is an ongoing issue that the country is going to have to deal with. There is an unpopular war. And what is going to be the end result for anybody involved? Just think about all of the controversy this week on both sides of the political spectrum. John McCain in the Middle East, speaking about Iranians training Al-Qaeda, and then the famous image that's being shown all over the place of Joe Lieberman leaning over and whispering, "It's not Al-Qaeda." John McCain coming back and saying, "Well, it's extremists," all the way over to Barack Obama having to explain how it is that he's going to withdraw troops from Iraq. That's a difficult scenario, no matter which way you come down. If you're John McCain and you say, "We're prepared to be there for 100 years, or if you're Barack Obama trying to explain how you're going to remove troops, even if it results in genocide, even if it results in a country that we invaded now being turned over to terrorist despots, that's a difficult issue to navigate. But there's a larger question here for Christians. The nation and the world can think about some of these geopolitical issues, but we as the church have even a stronger issue to deal with, and that is, what does it mean to live in the kingdom of God when we have a world in which there is war and there is violence? 5 years of this particular war in Iraq, but thousands of years of wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus says. How are we as Christians to think about that and to understand that? If you gather your family together and you pray that the United States of America would be victorious in Iraq or in Afghanistan, are you doing something wrong? Can you be a peaceful, peace lover, follower of Jesus Christ, and still say, yeah, you know, there's a time in which a country has to fight. What would you say to a Christian soldier who says, I'm reading in my Bible the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, but I've got an AK-47 here. Am I able to follow Christ in army fatigues? Give me a call. Let me know what you'd say. 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK. We're in a world at war. What should we as Christians think about that? 877-893-8255. Join the conversation. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Well, if you want to get something stirred up, just get a group of people together and say, Iraq. Or generally, just war. The way that somebody responds to that question will tell you a lot about the way that person thinks about the role of the state and the role of the sword in a world like this. Should a Christian serve in the military? Should a Christian fight and kill for his country? Should a Christian church or a Christian family pray that their country might be victorious in a war? Whatever the war is, regardless of whether or not you think the Iraq war is a good idea, regardless of whether or not you think our involvement in Afghanistan is a good idea, how should a Christian think about the issue of war? I mean, the Scripture speaks to this issue. We don't agree, all of us, on what the Scripture says, but the Scripture addresses the issue of war. So it's something that God takes seriously. We ought to take seriously. We ought to think through this issue. How do we do it? Because if we don't, we're going to wind up with our minds and our hearts and our consciences shaped by somebody else, by the spirit of the age, as the Scripture tells us. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. I want to hear from you. How would you advise a young man who's just been converted, and he says, I was planning to join the Marine Corps. I was planning to go and fight for my country in Iraq. Should I go? Or as a Christian now, should I turn away from that and do something else? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, before we do that, we have a very special guest on the line today, Dr. Ronald J. Sider, who is president of Evangelicals for Social Action. Dr. Sider is a prolific author. He has written many, many books, including Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger, Living Like Jesus, Just Generosity, books on poverty, books on world hunger, books on the Christian presence in the public square, books on whether or not Christians are hypocrites in terms of whether or not Christians are living out the gospel that they say they believe. And one of the things I appreciate about Dr. Sider, even though I disagree with him on many things when it comes to the application of the Scripture to the public square, is that he's somebody who really is willing to talk and to dialogue about these issues precisely because he believes that they're so important. Ron Sider, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. It's an honor to have you on.
Thanks. Delighted to be with you.
When you're talking to Christians about the issue of war, just generally, what are some of the principles from Scripture that you think Christians ought to be thinking about?
Well, my starting point in that question is like my starting point on sexuality and marriage and divorce and poverty and everything else. I want to know, what does Jesus and the Bible tell us? Now, that doesn't solve the detailed questions of exactly what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing in the Bible about building nuclear reactors or not, but I want to know what the biblical principles are, the biblical norms and standards. And so I take that on every issue, and I take that when it comes to the question of killing. You know, it would have been very, very convenient, I must confess, if I had been able to comfortably fit into what is the majority Christian position since the 4th century, which is the just war tradition.
Right.
And that tradition, which I respect and understand deeply, as you know, says that under some circumstances, reluctantly, we must kill in order to preserve peace and work for justice. But when I read the New Testament, when I read Jesus, I really just cannot get around what I believe is his clear teaching that he doesn't want his followers to kill. And since I believe Jesus is true God as well as true man, I can't say with Reinhold Niebuhr, who also said, yes, that's what Jesus said, but sorry, you know, that doesn't work in a fallen world, so we have to set him aside. If he's true God and he rose from the dead on the third day, as I believe, then I have to follow what he says. And it's interesting to me that for the first 300 years, we've got a lot of Christian writing about the issue of killing and war and abortion and capital punishment. And every time, until the time of Constantine in the early 4th century, every Christian writing that we have says that Jesus told his followers that they should not kill. The basic text, of course, is Matthew 5, where Jesus says that we're supposed to actually love our enemies. And I really just don't know how we can love somebody and kill them at the same time.
Dr. Sider, for you, as a pacifist, as someone who believes that killing is always wrong, does that apply only to those who are Christians, who are part of the community of faith, or would you say that no government has the right to protect its people through armed military conflict at all?
Well, it's obvious the government to do that, and so I'm glad to put a just war hat on and talk about, you know, what wars are wiser or less wise than others. But I don't believe that God has two ethics, you know, one for some people and another for others. Mm-hmm. If one said that, Christians are not supposed to kill, but God wants government to, then you'd have to say that God doesn't want everybody in a society to become Christians. So there'd be nobody to do the killing that God wants done. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make much sense to me. So I think that, in fact, there's another way. And I do write about daring nonviolence. I had a piece in Christianity Today just, I think it was November, December of this past year. And basically I said, let's test the possibilities of nonviolence. Just war people say that war must be a last resort. Mm-hmm. We must have tried all the reasonable, nonviolent alternatives before we go to war.
Mm-hmm.
And pacifists say they've got an alternative to war. So I say, let's look at what happened in the 20th century. Again and again and again, we see that nonviolence was amazingly successful. Doesn't mean it always works, but Martin Luther King led a nonviolent campaign that changed American history. Gandhi led a campaign that defeated the British Empire and gained India independence.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you compare the number of Algerians, they had a violent campaign against France for their independence, and 1 out of 10 Algerians got killed. In India, it was a nonviolent campaign under Gandhi, and only 1 in every 200,000 Indians got killed. That's fairly successful, just in terms of sheer numbers of people killed in the nonviolent campaign. And, we overthrew Marcos, a vicious dictator. We didn't, but the Filipinos did,
mm-hmm.
with a nonviolent campaign in Poland with support of the Pope. Solidarity did a nonviolent campaign that finally defeated the Soviet Empire. So there's an enormous amount.
Some would say there was a massive United States military presence that kind of helped that along, too.
Oh, sure. I know that that's there. But all I'm saying is, without much preparation, again and again in the 20th century, nonviolence worked. So if just war people really mean their criterion of last resort, they ought to say, let's in fact spend a few tens of millions of dollars, let's invest in training a few thousand people and see what we could do nonviolently with a lot more effort there.
All right. Well, Ron Sider, if you will stay with us through the break, I've got a couple of questions for you about that proposition. And I'd like to ask our callers this question because I want to talk to you in a couple of minutes. Do you think Dr. Sider is right that Christianity means peace, that means no fighting, that means no war? What should we then do? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Does following Christ mean leaving the military or not? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Have you seen those camouflage Bibles publishers make for men and women in the military to be able to have with them out in the deserts or in the jungles as they're serving their country in the military? But is it wrong for a Christian to serve in the military? Is it wrong for a Christian to fight? Is it wrong for Christians to, as they're offering up prayers to God, to pray, and Lord, please be with our military as they fight? Or is that contrary to what God has revealed when he says, thou shalt not kill, to what Jesus said when he said, bless your enemies, bless those who curse you, and love your enemies? What do you think? What would you say to a military man who's come to faith in Christ, and he says to you, I'm trying to learn what it means to follow Jesus, and I know that I can't go out and get drunk anymore. I know that I can't steal anymore, but can I fight in the military? Do I have to just go to jail in order to refuse to do that which I've been commissioned to do in order to follow Jesus? He says to you, I'll do whatever it takes to follow Jesus, but is that what Jesus demands? What would you say to that young man? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have on the line Ron Sider, who is the president of Evangelicals for Social Action. Dr. Sider is a pacifist, does not believe that Christians ought to be involved in making war or in fighting in battles for nations. And I disagree, but I want to hear what you have to say. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. Dr. Sider, really glad to have you on the program today to explain your position as someone who does not believe that war is something that Jesus calls us to do. I wonder how you would respond to someone who's in the military who says to you, I've come to know Christ. I want to know what it means to follow Jesus. I'm in the military. I took an oath to fight for my country. What should I do? What would you say to that person?
Well, I think the person should wrestle hard with the question, what does Jesus want me to do? What does Jesus say he wants his followers to do? If that person comes to believe that Jesus teaches his followers not to kill, then the person should, in fact, acknowledge that that's the way he must live, or she must live, and in fact then get out of the military. But, you know, I'm much more interested, Russell, in talking about what I propose that both just war Christians and pacifist Christians could do in terms of nonviolent peacemaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems to me that the proposal I made in Christianity Today to invest a few million dollars and train some few thousands of people in the techniques of Martin Luther King and Gandhi, the techniques that overthrew, you know, the violent dictator Marcos in the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
that you don't have to give up your just war position to say, well, we want war to be a last resort, so we want to test everything we can do nonviolently.
Yeah, but Gandhi never went up against Hitler.
I'm not even saying in this particular claim that this would always work. I'm just saying it worked again and again in the 20th century, but we never spent any money, put any effort into it. Never in Christian history have any significant number of people invested money and time in seeing what we could do nonviolently.
Well, it seems to me, though, but if it doesn't work, if you're taking on Hitler with these tactics and it doesn't work, then the end result is we're all speaking German.
But it did work overthrowing Marcos. It did work in the case of Solidarity. It did work with King and Gandhi. So take an example. I mean, what if Bishop Desmond Tutu would lead a couple thousand Christians, Africans and people from other continents, into Zimbabwe right now? You've got a dictator destroying his country, doing awful things, and the world press would be there. I don't think he would dare kill Archbishop Tutu, if Tutu came in and said, we're coming in the name of Jesus, we're going to pray, and we're going to stay here until you call fair elections. You know, that just might work.
So all you are saying is,
than invading.
All you're saying is, give peace a chance. Let's do this first.
Let's try it.
All right. This is Ron Sider, president of Evangelicals for Social Action. Dr. Sider says we ought to be doing other things other than war, nonviolent protest. That's the way that Jesus has given us to overcome evil. What do you think? Do you agree? Do you think that the very idea of fighting in a war is in conflict with what it means to follow Jesus? Or can you follow Jesus and fight for your country at the same time? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I think this is an important issue for all kinds of reasons. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I love Ron Sider. I think he's a genuine believer and a great guy. But when it comes to this issue, I don't think he's reading the biblical text correctly. I think he is instead seeing the kingdom of God as something that has already come. I think instead, as we're going to talk about in a few minutes, the scripture speaks of, in this time between the times, a responsibility that is given to the state to fight. There are times when, and Dr. Sider is exactly right, this is a last resort. This is something we do very reluctantly, but it is something that is real, a real responsibility to bear the sword. Dr. Sider says, no, what we need to do instead is to train people to do nonviolent peacemaking. Now, the problem with that is that it's not loving the neighbor, in my estimation, because it acts as though the fall has been reversed throughout the world, and it has not. The kingdom of God has not yet come in all of its fullness and in all of its power, which means that you are going to have bloody tyrants who are going to try to kill people. And the point of war, when it's legitimate and just and responsible war, is to protect the innocent. People die. I mean, I think that Dr. Sider's point about the Solidarity movement, a labor union movement in Poland and Eastern Europe, misses the point. Yes, we had to have that kind of nonviolent activity taking place, but the only reason it worked is because the Soviet Union knew and understood that there was a military presence in the United States of America that was massive, and there was a president, Ronald Reagan, who wasn't going to be scared to use it. Now, if the Bible says that fighting is always wrong, then it doesn't matter whether or not it works. I agree with Dr. Sider. I follow Jesus and not Ronald Reagan or any other group of generals or any type of ideology about warfare. But does Jesus tell us that? Does Jesus say it is always a sin to fight? What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Michelle on the line. Michelle, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, Dr. Moore. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to. What's your thought today?
My thought, I have actually two comments. One is, Scripture does tell us that we are under the authority of a government that God did establish.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. But two, in Matthew 24, the disciples are asking Jesus what the signs of the end times are, and he says it would be wars and rumors of wars, but he says, see that you are not frightened, for those things must take place.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Jesus, knowing that there are going to be wars and rumors of wars, there's got to be a way to, you know, there's got to be something.
Yeah, but Michelle, Jesus also says there'll be earthquakes, there'll be signs in the heavens. He doesn't necessarily say these are things that we should promote, that we should be involved in necessarily. But I do think there are biblical texts that speak to this issue. I think you're exactly right that there are governments that are legitimately created. But what would you say? What would you say to a young man or young woman in the military who says, now that I'm a Christian, do I have to leave? I mean, we all know what we would say to somebody who gets saved as a stripper. Quit. Come on over here and let's find you something else to do. But what would you say to a soldier? Is it the same thing? Some people say it is. yeah, it's doing something that is non-Christian. I disagree. I think you can be a Christian and a soldier. I think you can be a Christian and you can pray for victory in battle, regardless of what you think about the wisdom of this particular war. But in general, I think that there are times when governments have to fight, and Christian people and non-Christian people who are in the military have to fight. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What would you say to the guy who says, I've come to believe in Jesus, I don't know what to do. Do I continue in the military or not? 877-893-TALK. We have David on the line, who is listening on XM Radio in Woodland, Washington State. David, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Moore.
What's your thought on this today?
I agree with you, sir. I have been on active duty for more than 26 years and am a devout Christian. And I believe it is my duty to defend my country so that we can have the freedom to be Christians and to follow Christ.
What do you think, David, about the passages of Scripture that Dr. Sider and others have mentioned where Jesus says, you turn the other cheek, you don't fight in response? How do you interpret those texts?
I believe that Christ does ask us to turn the other cheek, but I don't think he desires for us to lay down and let other governments walk over us.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, David. David says he's in the military and he believes that he can follow Christ and serve his country at the same time. Do you think he's right? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Can you, as a Christian, believe that war is sometimes necessary without becoming a warlike person? Or are you just being shaped by your culture to support this? Or does the Bible actually lead you to this position? We have Jerry, who is listening on XM Radio in Jamestown, Tennessee. Jerry, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to. What do you think about this?
Well, at no place do I ever see in Scripture where Jesus tells, like, a Roman soldier to stop being a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
He tells him to be the best soldier you can possibly be.
Be all you can be, is what Jesus says, centurion. Well, kind of. I mean, what Jerry is saying is exactly right. Jesus never says to a centurion and soldiers, and he's with them all the time. Jesus encounters prostitutes, and what does he say to them? Go and sin no more. But when Jesus encounters a soldier, he never tells the soldier to walk away from a pattern of this life as though it's sin. Instead, Jesus recognizes this as a legitimate vocation. And these are people who are serving as soldiers for a pagan government, for the government of the Roman Empire. Jesus never tells them, give it up, walk away. So how then should we counsel people in our churches? And agreed, we're living in a culture that is warlike across the board. Fight for what you've got. But how do we train and disciple people to be able to fight for their country and follow Jesus at the same time? Give me a call in our closing moments, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. It's Maundy Thursday. Jesus was arrested. Jesus didn't fight. But do we sometimes have to? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. Sometimes you got to fight when you're a man. That's what Kenny Rogers says. Is that what Jesus says? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller. This is the Albert Mueller Program, 5 years into the Iraq War. And today we've talked a little bit about what does it mean to follow Christ in a world in which we sometimes have warfare. I actually appreciate Ron Sider's viewpoint, even though I completely disagree with it. I think Ron Sider has the right attitude of saying, let's come to the biblical text, and whatever the biblical text teaches, that's the truth, that's the authority, that's what we do, regardless of the consequences. I just think he's reading the Bible wrong. I think that Jesus calls us not to personally fight, not to personally fight for my own self-interest, but Jesus also calls on us to love our neighbors. And that means to protect our neighbors from death, from violence. That's why the Apostle Paul says that when the government bears the sword, it is bearing the sword for at the authority of God himself to punish evildoers. It's a sad reality that we are living in a world groaning under sin, and that God sometimes restrains chaos and restrains violence through military action, through governments who have a responsibility to protect their people. We shouldn't be happy about that. We shouldn't be thrilled about that. That ought to cause us to say, come, Lord Jesus, come establish your kingdom. You know, I'm reminded this Maundy Thursday, as we think about Jesus sitting down with his disciples and then going into the garden and praying. And remember when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus and Peter took up his sword to fight. Notice what Jesus says. Jesus was not a pacifist. Jesus said, don't do this, Peter, because don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels to come and fight? That's exactly what Jesus says to Pilate. If my kingdom were of this world, then I would have my disciples here to fight you. His kingdom is not yet here. And yet the scripture also tells us we're living in this fallen time in which sometimes we have to see and recognize we're dealing with wicked and evil people who are held back and restrained when we have to, when there's no other alternative, when there's no other choice. So I think for Christians, we've got to avoid pacifism. That's utopian. And we've got to avoid militarism, the idea that we can get everything that we need through fighting by trusting in horses and chariots. Neither of those two options are Christian. Instead, we have to say, sometimes we have to fight right now, but as we do so, we are praying, come, Lord Jesus, and establish a kingdom in which the wolf lies down with the lamb. There's no peace, no swords, no firing guns, no bombs bursting in air. That's the kingdom of God. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.